Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we're going to be picking up on Scott's topic from last month, setting yourself up for success principles and eliminating self-sabotage. So I want to start by first recognizing that you are never weak for owning your self-sabotage. In fact, it's quite the opposite. If you're not aware, or if you're pretending that your self-sabotage doesn't exist, your self-sabotage owns you. So I really want to start by just commending you for having these discussions and being really honest with yourself and with your team. Just by recognizing where your blocks are, they immediately have less of a hold on you. So I hope with that, that inspires you to keep going on this path. Although it can be challenging at times, it is certainly worth it. And your next level up is right around the corner of getting over these self-sabotaging behaviors. So to start, we're going to dial into some really specific areas. And this is based on feedback from the last activity. This is based on the conversations that we have every day and the patterns that we hear from the people that we help in our Dental Success Today universe. And so to start with number one, we've got three key areas here. Number one, delay. Okay, delay. It's more than just procrastination. It's, in fact, one of the biggest key areas of self-sabotage that our patients come in with. And so we want to watch for this, because I've often said that our biggest competition, it's not another dentist. It's not an in-network practice. In fact, our biggest competition is the maybe zone. I'm sure you hear it often. The maybe I'll do it. Maybe let me think about it. Maybe I just have to talk to my husband. Okay, so the thing with this is that this delay, it's a state of mind, and it allows people to justify their choice. And when we don't help them through it, when we don't help them see the importance of not delaying, they can rationalize the decision that it's okay. If the experts aren't telling them otherwise, all of a sudden the maybe seems like the best decision. So I want you to think about this, because if your patients don't have to make a decision about their health today, why would they? Why would they? It's hard. It's hard to change your life and to make decisions about your health that maybe you haven't been making for a long time. So just remember, maybe and delaying is the default for everyone. So if we don't make it important enough to do now, they will wait. So where I want you to think about is, we want to look at, rather than delay because, which is all the excuses and reasons that our patients share with us about why they don't want to move forward, we turn it around to deadline because. Okay, so we're going to give them reasons to do it now. Reasons to do it before it gets to this deadline, which no one wants to get to the outcomes and consequences there of waiting. So practice using the art of spin. Whatever the reason is to delay, it becomes the reason for the deadline. Money, time, spouse, this is the best time. If you want to save money, if you want to save time, if you want to talk to your spouse first, all of those things are going to be benefited if we say yes, if we move forward. So the bottom line is, either you're making excuses or you're making progress. So don't let your patients make excuses with you about their goals, and don't use your patients as excuses for yours. So three questions to think about. Where in your life could you be more decisive? Where could you make fewer excuses? And where are you holding yourself back with delay? Okay, this is a mindset in your personal life as well. It starts with the personal life. It affects your mindset with patients. So be honest with yourself and share what you're comfortable with your team. But often where we see patterns of delay in other areas of our life, that's the same self-sabotage that creeps up with our patients. So start with that question of delay and how we can start to overcome that hurdle in our minds and in our patients' minds. Number two, limited vision. Okay, so this is an interesting one that comes up. And oftentimes, even though we know what's possible with our patients and we've got really amazing practices that have these comprehensive treatment plans, have these big possibilities for cosmetic opportunities, or we don't like this term, but elective opportunities. And a lot of the times, though we know it, we shy away from sharing these possibilities with our patients. So I want to share a little story here, a little bit of an analogy to think about as you consider this. If you are going to your hairdresser, okay, this is an expert that takes care of you in a little bit of a different way than the kinds of ways you take care of your patients, but a lot of people really value their hairdressers too. So think about this. Would you be mad if your hairdresser recommended a custom vision of what she had in mind? If she created it based on your skin tone, your hair tone, your face shape, and really thought about what would look amazing on you and walked you through why she thinks it would work. And it might be different than what you originally came in with. But regardless, if you have someone customizing something for you, would you ever consider her expertise as negative? Of course not. Of course not. And even if we don't go for it, even if, you know, no, I just want the regular cut and trim I come in for, but thank you for sharing. You know, even if you don't go for it, you end up thinking highly of her and the fact that she cares enough to make a custom recommendation of what is possible. You're not going to be offended by the recommendation. It's the opposite. It actually raises your credibility in your mind that you have for her. So even if it's a, you know what, not this time, but I appreciate the vision, it changes the way you think about her in a positive way, that she's not just cashing it in and giving you what you asked for. She's actually giving you her expertise and letting you know what's possible that maybe you've never thought about before or even considered. So you see how this comes back to dentistry. You see how by us sharing what's possible with our patients, we are not offending them. We're simply showing them the bigger vision. And just by giving that awareness to our patients, we immediately increase the possibility of what's going to be accepted. So three questions to consider here. Where are you holding back on your patients about possibilities? What scares you about sharing this proudly with them? And what's the worst that could happen? What's the best that could happen? Start predicting some outcomes and getting it on paper. Just by putting it down on paper, the power is going to disappear from the worst case scenario. Number three, nurturing the yes. So we work with some pretty incredible practices, and you do a wonderful job of getting the patients to see, you know, what's possible and really helping them say yes and understanding the value of dentistry. Yet, despite your best efforts, there will always be patients who aren't ready to go all in while they're there that day. So what do you do with them? Some things to consider. Do you give in? Do we respectfully back off? Do we understand that they don't want to go yet and we just, you know, let go of the whole pull and push of that conversation? Or do we get curious? Do we ask more questions? Do we take a genuine interest and concern about where our patient is at? And I want to share something that can often be something that helps you be a little more comfortable to go for it without feeling pushy, without feeling like you're nosy, without feeling like you're putting pressure on your patient. And because these fears can sometimes be the self-sabotage in your mind, I recommend addressing it outright. Lay your intentions down in front of the patient so they can see you're not hiding behind anything. There's no ulterior motive here. You genuinely are coming from a place of care. You can say something like, you know, patient, I hope you know I'm only asking because I do care about you and I want to do my best to help every patient I see make good health decisions. Would you be comfortable sharing a little bit more about why you're thinking of waiting? Just take in some curiosity, right? If they say no, if they're really shut down, we can respect that. But most people won't. Most people will share what's going on, and this is an invitation. This is for us to better understand where they're at and to help give them more reasons of why it's going to be worth it anyway. Okay, so are you giving in or are you getting curious? Okay, another thing to consider. A lot of people will respond to patients when they're not ready, when they're, you know, stuck in that maybe zone of call us when you're ready. You let us know. Sometimes you might even go a step up and say, would it be okay if I call you sometime? I want to encourage you to take it further. I want to encourage you that while you've got them, nurturing the yes means while they're in the maybe zone, before they tip into delay, we capture that interest. We capture that motivation of what is there. And so while they're here, the best chance that we're ever going to get them, that is the time to recommend, hey, you know what? I get it that you want to think about it. I understand if you need to sleep on it and, you know, just let everything sink in from today. So why don't we schedule a date and time when you and I can reconnect and this doesn't go on the back burner because you're too important, your health is too important. How's Friday at 9 a.m.? Would that work to have a call end of the week? Okay, so we help them. We help nurture that yes. We keep the ball in our court. We set up the next time. And this is not about pressuring the patient. In fact, it goes back to case psychology and patient psychology, where when they have a deadline, we talked about that word before, when they know they're going to be speaking to you on Friday morning, it keeps the case alive in their mind. It truly nurtures the yes, so they keep thinking about it and they know they're going to have to make a decision. This is what helps get them out of the maybe zone. So the question is, how are we nurturing the yes for follow-up? Okay, that's for you to think about. The last example I'll share is cancellations or maybe even rescheduling. You know, this is something that comes up often in the calls that I have. So we want to flip to, are we giving in? Are we not nurturing that yes? Are we saying, okay, I'm so sorry, you have to cancel. If there's nothing you can do, we'll go ahead and cancel your appointment. Or are we digging a little deeper? Are we staying solution focused? Are we saying, you know, oh my goodness, I'm sorry to hear that. Is there anything we can do to help? Would it be better if we could adjust your appointment time and make it a little later in the day? Would that be able to help you keep your appointment? You know, do you mind sharing with me what's going on? I want to help you through this. Always with empathy, never with pressure. Okay, some examples to think about. And I want to round out the nurturing the yes with three discussion questions for you. Number one, how are you currently nurturing the yes in your role? Number two, at what point do you give in to the patients? When you stop nurturing it, what's the last thing they say where that's where we finally stop? Just be aware of that point. Number three, how could you take it one step further to have their back and be a guide towards getting healthy? Okay, some questions to consider. So I want to close out this discussion by repeating something Scott said at the last discussion he had with you in the last practice focus. He said, you've earned the right to be pushed, challenged, and have expectations raised. You'll never hit a goal you don't have. You'll never achieve beyond the standard of success you find acceptable and tolerable. And I just want to say, I think that's very powerful to think about, that growth is not a one and done thing. We recognize and celebrate and admire how far you've come. And we know that you're never going to stop growing. We know that you're hungry to keep getting better. And we really appreciate that. So I want to encourage you with another quote, that we're either getting by or we're getting better. So thank you for committing to the second one. We've got your back and we're honored to be along your journey with you. Thank you.